11, and we will read from verse 1. We are considering together the life of faith, and this morning in verse 2 we want to consider the approval of God, the approval of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the scripture says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Down to verse 6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that God exists and that God rewards those who seek Him." May God bless the reading of His Scriptures to us. Shall we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, in this place, this morning, we gather in Your holy presence. We pray that You would grant to us a measure of Your mercy and Your grace. Our Father, we are reminded throughout our day-to-day life that we are subject to many infirmities, to many afflictions, to many temptations, to many assaults, to many sufferings. Grant to us joy and strength and encouragement in the midst of our imperfection and our infirmity. Grant to us rejoicing in our weakness, so that in Christ we may be strong. And now we pray, Father, that You would be pleased to take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us. We ask these things in His name and for His sake. Amen. The life of faith in verse 1 is grounded, you will notice, in two things. First of all, it is grounded in the assurance of things hoped for. And secondly, the life of faith is grounded in this statement, the conviction of things unseen. These two statements that we have for us in verse 1 lay for us the foundation or the description of what faith is. Unless your faith meets these two statements, you do not have faith. Unless your faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of unseen things, then you have another kind of faith. The writer begins by telling us, now faith is. And then he has given us this beautiful, powerful description of what faith is. It's the assurance of things hoped for. It's the confidence, the evidence, if you like, of things unseen, of invisible things. This is what faith is. The assurance of things hoped for. This speaks to us of the confidence that we have as believers, as Christian men and women, Christian boys and girls. This is what faith is all about. This is an internal confidence that is resting on the faithfulness of God, that is grounded in the promises of God. Because God has said it, I believe it. Because God has promised it, I claim the promises of God. It's the assurance of things hoped for. Not only that, but it's the conviction of things that are invisible. In other words, it speaks of the fact that we are looking at the realities as they are from the perspective of God, and we look at them and we embrace them as our own, and we make the promises of God that may be invisible to us as though they are visible to us. And in the light of that, that's how we live. That's faith. It's a glorious thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's the assurance and it's the confidence. Things hoped for and things unseen. We may say that this assurance, it is within us. We ought to say that this conviction is lived by us day by day. The promises of God are indeed precious to us. These two statements of verse 1 are the principal qualities of faith. These are the foundational statements, if you like, of faith. And wherever faith is, there you will find this assurance. There you will find this confidence. This faith, by the way, only belongs to one particular kind of person. Go back to chapter 10 and look at verse 38. God says, "But my righteous one shall live by faith." And so this faith that we're speaking about belongs to the righteous. It is not the possession of the unrighteous. It is not the possession of the unbeliever. This is the possession of the Christian. This faith, this assurance, this confidence. This faith is a persevering faith. This is a faith that is a continuing faith. This is a faith that is an enduring faith. This is a faith that saves. This is saving faith. Now faith is this assurance. Now faith is this confidence. And this morning as we continue to examine a description of what faith is and what faith does, we want to submit our hearts and our minds to the will of God. You will notice, for instance, in verse 1 we could say that we have the root of faith. The root of faith. In verse 2 we see the fruit of faith. Verse 2 can only occur because of verse 1. These people of old could only live the way they lived because they were assured of the things that they hoped for. They had confidence in the invisible things that God had promised them. And it was by the same faith that the people of old, the elders, the ancients, the patriarchs, the Old Testament saints of God lived. And it's by that same faith that they received that good report, that commendation from God. The question to us in our time is exactly the same as you might ask someone from the Old Testament. Do you have that faith in God? Do you have that faith in God? Are you like Abraham? Are you like Isaac and Jacob and Joseph? Are you like these people? Verse 2 tells us, "For by faith the ancients, the elders received their commendation from God." And so as we come to this verse, I want to suggest to you that we have a further demonstration of the excellency of faith. The English Standard Version says, "For by it," the little "it" means by faith, "the people of old received their commendation." The Geneva Study Bible, or the Geneva Version, says, "For by it our elders were well reported of." And the King James Version says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." The New American Standard says, "For by it the men of old gained approval." And the NIV says, "This is what the ancients were commended for." All having the same idea of gaining the approval of God. And the only way a Christian man or woman can gain the approval of God is to live by faith. We do not live looking at the things that are seen, but we live looking at the things that are unseen. We believe them because God has promised them, and we embrace the promises of God. Now, I want to show you that there are three statements in verse 2 that we ought to think about. First of all, there is the reason given as to how the elders received their commendation. What is that reason? It is this statement, For by faith. For by it. Secondly, we have the recipients of this commendation, the people of old, or the elders. Thirdly, we have the reward that is given to these people of old. They received their commendation. The recipients, the reason, the reward. The reason that is given is by faith. That tells us how. They received their commendation from God, their approval from God. The recipients, that tells us who. Who received the commendation from God? The people of old. And the reward given to those people tells us what they received. They received the approval of God. They received the commendation of God. Now I want to begin this morning with the who, the recipients. Who is he speaking about in verse 2? Notice what verse 2 says. For by it the people of old received their commendation. The people of old, hoi presbyteroi, which we know in the New Testament just means the elders in plural. Presbyteroi. But here in the Old Testament, he is referring without question to the Old Testament saints of God. And it is these Old Testament saints, as we shall see in the weeks going ahead, that form the substance of Hebrews chapter 11. They form the substance of Hebrews chapter 11 because when you get to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, we form the substance of that chapter. And everything spoken of in chapter 11 is designed to encourage us in chapter 12 to press on in the faith. So this is a chapter about the Old Testament saints of God. If it were not important, the Spirit would not have included it in Holy Scripture. So it is necessary that we understand why the elders in the Old Testament were well spoken of by God. Because the writer wants to use this as an example for us to be encouraged in our faith, to be encouraged as Christians. But will you notice that in the immediate context of Hebrews 11, in these first few verses that speak about this commendation in verse 2, that we are drawn to, or our attention is drawn, first of all, in verse 4, to this man Abel. And it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And notice these words, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gift, and though he being dead, or through his faith, though he died, he still is speaking to us. So Abel was commended by God. So we see this commendation in verse 2 to the people of old, right here, this very first or second son that is born to Adam and Eve, Abel, he is one of those who was commended for his faith. But secondly, look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. But before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. So again, in the immediate context, we can see Abel commended by God for his faith as righteous, Enoch commended by God as having pleased God. Will you notice the righteousness of Abel and the pleasing properties of Enoch are exemplified, come out, demonstrated, lived by faith? If you want to please God, you must live by faith. If you want to be a righteous person, you can only do it by faith. My righteous one shall live by his or her faith. And so we can see and say confidently that when we speak of the people of old, or the elders, or the ancients long ago, verse 39 of Hebrews chapter 11 tells us, and all these examples of chapter 11, though commended through or by their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. We are linked, New Testament believers, to Old Testament saints, we are bound together by the same faith, grounded in the same promises of God, with the same expectation, with the same hope, with the same anticipation, with the same longing. And these examples are given to us. Though they were commended by their faith, they did not receive all the promises. But they looked to Him who had grounded them and given them to them in His person. And so we can see that the people of old were people who lived in a previous time. Now the question is, why does the writer to the Hebrews introduce us so quickly, Abel and Enoch, to a demonstration of faith? I mean, why does he do that? He's going to cover in great detail, it's true, from verse 4 through verse 38, all of these great men and women of the Old Testament who lived by faith. But why does he introduce us so quickly to a demonstration of faith? In verse 2, for instance, "For by it the people of old received their commendation." Well, he must provide some evidence of what it means to demonstrate what is being described. He must provide us with some evidence. These Jewish readers who were reading in the first century this letter to the Hebrews, he must provide them with some evidence of what he is going to describe, of what faith is. And so he immediately tells them in the broad picture, it's the people of old who received the approval of God. How did they do that? They did it by faith. And so he gives evidence. He demonstrates that in the people of old there was this demonstration of the assurance of things hoped for. There was this demonstration in their lives that they held to a conviction. They believed the promises of God, things that were unseen. That's how they lived. So he is providing evidence of all who had this kind of faith that we see in verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence, the conviction of things unseen. The writer to the Hebrews, by the way, treats these people as real, these people of old. In fact, this is not a hypothetical situation. You know, we sometimes use, do we not, hypothetical situations to prove our point in conversation or in discussion. Whatever that hypothetical situation might be, we introduce it in order to support our arguments. But it's a mere hypothetical situation. This is not a hypothetical situation in verse 2 when he says the people of old. These were real people of old who really received the commendation of God. These were really people of old who lived by faith. And because they were really real people, so we too can look to them and be encouraged by them. There is nothing greater than an encouragement by an example of someone who has gone through the process, who has endured the trials, endured the suffering, who knows what it is to go through life by faith. That's why it's a great thing to read Christian biographies, isn't it? Because you come away from reading Christian biographies stirred within you, fired up with an evangelical passion and love, because you want to be like they were. That is simply wanting to demonstrate a description of faith. And that's why verses 4 through 40 is a demonstration of what is described in verses 1, 2, and 3. And so we see here in these verses that this is not a hypothetical situation. This is very real proof of how we ought to live in our day and age by faith. This is how the writer to the Hebrews in the first century wanted his readers to live. They were discouraged. They were afflicted. They were suffering persecution. They thought going back to the old way, Judaism, was far more substantial, far better than this thing, Christianity, that they had. And so they were considering the temple, look how beautiful it is. The priestly service, look how beautiful their garments are. Look at the work of sacrifice. We can see it with our eyes. And so they were being tempted to draw back from Christianity, to shrink back and to go back. And the writer says, listen, if you are truly a Christian, you will not shrink back. That's what chapter 10, verses 19 through 39 is all about. You won't go back. You'll press on, struggling, afflicted, suffering, tortured, whatever it is. By faith they conquered kingdoms. By faith they endured all these things. So it's very important that he show to these readers of his that there were examples of men who and women who, in the face of seeming obstacles that were just could not be overcome, that they went on by faith. There may be obstacles in your life that you think are insurmountable. The only way to overcome those obstacles is to tread the same path that these people of old trod, by faith, resting your confidence in the God who promises and gives assurance of the things that we hope for and long for, and confidence in the things that are unseen. We live by faith. So they needed encouragement. So what does he say to them? Well, look to the people of old. You want to be stirred up in your faith? Look to the people of old. You want to be sustained in your trials and your sufferings? Look to the people of old. Look to the Old Testament saints, he says. Now, you know, some of these examples in verses 4 through 40 of faith, some of them were not very strong in their faith. In fact, some of them were quite weak in their faith, were they not? I mean, just think of Gideon, for example. He tested God to prove, God, is it really you that's telling me that I can conquer the Midianites? Show me a sign, show me a sign, show me a sign. I need evidence, I want to see, I need some tangible proof that you have promised that you will do this for me. And God takes that servant of his, weak in faith, and demonstrates to him how he will overcome the Midianites. Not with 300,000 men, not with 10,000 men, but with 300 men. So it wasn't Gideon that was going to overthrow the Midianites, it was God through Gideon. But Gideon had to be brought along in his faith. Ah, but what about Samson? What about Samson? Such a fleshly man. Such a carnal, worldly man who despised at times that Nazarite vow that he had undertaken or that had been imposed upon him and he was supposed to live by. It was only in those dying moments of his life, as his two hands are on those pillars and the whole host of the Philistines are before him, mocking his God, that he beseeches God for the sake of his two eyes to grant him the purpose that God had given to him in the beginning, the destruction of the Philistines. And the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith Samson, and he conquered them. Such a weak man, such a fleshly man. But his eyes looked to God at the end. Though they could not see physically, he embraced the promises of God for his life. This, my dear Christian friend, dear congregation, this is what Christianity is all about. It's embracing the promises of God. And let me tell you, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. All of them. All of them. Every promise of God, ever spoken by God, is guaranteed because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you get excited about that? Can you be confident in that? Is there anything that would shake that description of God? There's nothing that shakes the description of God and the promises of God as we find them in His Word. This is why the life of faith is simply to believe what God has promised us. To take God at His word. We may pass on in Hebrews chapter 11 and come across Rahab the harlot. A harlot? Oh yes. Prostitutes are saved by faith. The same faith. The same faith. And she was justified by faith. We can look at this and we can see Sarah, the mother of all the faithful, laughing at the word of God who said to Abraham, her husband, this time next year, Sarah, your wife, shall bear a son. Ha! It's impossible. I'm 90 years of age. What are you talking about, God? It's impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. And this time, or that time, then, next year, Sarah gave birth to a son. Why? Because God said it. By faith, Sarah. by faith, Sarah. So this writer is not speaking about perfect people. He is speaking about persevering people. He's not speaking about perfection. There is no perfect man, woman, boy, girl in this life. We like to think we're perfect, but I want to assure you, we're not perfect. If you haven't discovered that for yourself, let me tell it to you. You see, God is not looking for perfection because He knows we're not perfect. Perfection that awaits us in glorification. God is looking for perseverance by faith. And He's looking for a faith that is embraced by those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's looking for a righteousness that is imputed by the Lord Jesus Christ to all who believe on Him. And it's that imputation of the merits of the righteousness of Jesus that God says, the righteous live by their faith. And you know, people, some of them in their lives, and no doubt we ourselves, it is in the most desperate of times and the most desperate moments that we are to look to God. You see, it's easy for us to pass by God sometimes. We live lives that are maybe easy. Everything's going well for us. We forget to read our Bibles. We forget to remind ourselves of the great things that Jesus has done because life is just continuing. Ah, but just let a little trouble come. Just let a little affliction come. And soon your eyes and your heart and your mind will turn away from the visible things and turn to the invisible things, to God. And that's when God says, right in the most desperate of moments, look to me. Look to me. But having said that, in the most confident of moments, that's also when we should look to God. Because it's arrogance to forget God when we are so well off and so comfortable. And so whether in sickness or in health, whether in riches or in poverty, let us look to the God who loves us. John Flavel, the great Puritan, said, it is better to be as low as hell with God's promises than to be in paradise without them. I don't want to be in heaven and there's to be no the promises of God. I only want to be there because God's promised me certain things. That's what I'm embracing, the promises of God. They are ours now. And that's how we live by faith. Well, what did these old people, these people of old, these presbyteroi, these ancients, what did they receive? Secondly, I want to draw your attention to the reward that was given to these people of old. What did they receive? The Bible says they received the commendation of God. They received the approval of God. That word commendation is the word from which we use testify or testimony or the word for witness. Matureo. It's used in two ways. It can be used in an active sense. It can be used in a passive sense. When it's the active sense, it's as if the person speaking is doing the action. When it's in the passive sense, the people spoken of are receiving the action. This is the passive sense. God is saying something of these elders. He's giving them a well done, a good report, a commendation. It means to bear witness, to have witness borne of, to be well spoken of, to be approved. And you will notice same word in verse 4, verse 5, verse 39, that word commendation, to be well spoken of. Not well spoken of by the world so much, but well spoken of by God. In 3 John verse 12, the Apostle John writes, Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony, he says, is true. Demetrius, well spoken of, received a good report. Acts chapter 6, verse 3, those 12 apostles, choose today, they said, pick out from among you 7 men of good report, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, and we will appoint them to this duty. Men of good report. Now, in order for the writer to the Hebrews to encourage his reader, he immediately draws our attention to the reward. Will you notice that the reward is not spoken of in verse 39? It's spoken of in verse 2. Right here is the commendation, the reward of God that is given to these Old Testament saints. Is there any Christian today that doesn't want to hear the words of the Lord Jesus? Well done, you good and faithful servant. If you want to hear those words, there's only one way to hear those words. Live by faith. Only one way to hear the commendation of the Savior. Can there be any Christian who is not thinking about that commendation? I don't think so. We ought to be thinking about that. These are the very words that our Lord Jesus uses in Scripture, or the Scriptures use of Him, that are designed to encourage us, to stir us up in our faith, to cause us to press on, because by pressing on, I will hear the Savior say. So don't shrink back. Don't give up, because those who shrink back lose their souls. But those who persevere and endure to the preservation of the soul, they enjoy the salvation that God has promised them. Don't give up. Don't give up. God has recorded His approval of these people of old. Where has He recorded it for us? Is it not here in the Scriptures of God? Is it not here in the Word of God? So often this book of ours, this precious Bible, gets a cover of dust on it, does it not? Because we lay it aside and we read the newspaper and we read the magazines and we read the blogs and we read whatever it is. But this book sits silent. When this book must speak to us, if we want to live a life that pleases God. And God says, look, in this book of mine, you will find a record of all those who lived the way that I want them to live by faith, and it brings pleasure to me. And if you want to bring pleasure to me in the 21st century, look to the reward that the people of old received. They received their commendation. God has taken their care then, has He not, to record for us in the Bible a record of these individuals who lived by faith. God has taken care to report for our benefit the excellent things that they enjoyed. How did they do it? They did it in the strength of the grace of faith. That's how we're to live in our time. In this strength of the grace of faith. It's one thing, you know, for this world to speak well of us. And in fact, that's a dangerous thing when the world speaks well of you, by the way. When you receive a commendation from the world, take note. Take note of that. It's a dangerous thing. It's one thing to be well spoken of by the world, but to be well spoken of by God, surely that's heavenly. Surely that's heavenly. That's glorious. For God to say, well done, nothing else matters on this planet, does it? I mean, if God were to say to you or me today, or if the Lord Jesus were to come among us physically and we saw Him, and He were to say, I commend you personally for what you have done. You have lived by faith. I give you my commendation. Well done. I'm telling you, you would go out of that door fired up, undaunted, unafraid of whatever is out there. If Jesus literally said to you, well done, you're doing a great job, you're living by faith, what could stand against us? That is how the people of old in Hebrews chapter 11 lived. They lived as if they had literally seen God Himself. They believed it. And all of those New Testament martyrs for their faith, witnesses for their faith, testified to their faith, who died for their faith. And all the Christian martyrs who have done so since testified to their faith because they believe God. In the midst of flames, facing sword, facing dungeons, it doesn't matter what, they trusted God. And God bless them. But you know, dear congregation, this is exactly what God is saying to you and to me in His Word this morning. that this is how we receive our commendation. The same faith. Not a different faith. The same faith. It's a justifying faith. It's a saving faith. The life of faith, as I've said, is not a perfect life. It's just a persevering life. It's a persevering faith. So we have spoken of, have we not, the recipients. Who gets this reward? The people of old. What did they get? Well spoken of by God. And God's approval of them has been recorded as a witness to them. They lived in the past, but they received the well done of God. And the Scriptures bear record to their lives of faith. But having said that, now what about the reason? How did they get their commendation? Verse 2 says, For by faith, the people of old received their commendation. They received their good report by faith. No other way. They were not commended for their good behavior. They were not commended for their nice, amiable spirits. They were not commended for their sincerity or any natural virtue that they may have possessed. That's not how God commended them. They may have been very nice people, very good people. But God didn't commend them for that. He commended them for their faith. In fact, let me say to you this morning that it is this faith only that produces a godly, nice, amiable disposition. We are being conformed, are we not, day by day into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ? There is a transformation process going on in the life of every believer, in the life of every Christian. This is how you can know, am I a Christian? Am I being transformed day by day? Is there a passion for God? Is there a hunger for Christ? Is my life hungry for God? When sin comes, I want to fight sin and I want to hate sin and I want to overcome sin. I want to triumph over sin. Is that how you live? That's how we ought to live. That's how they lived of old. By faith. It is faith that enhances any natural ability, any natural virtue. It's faith that makes that glorious. Faith alone. Ah, how great then is faith. Verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, impossible to please God. What do the pleasures of God mean to us? Pleasing God? How do I do that? By faith. By faith. You want to know what kind of faith? Look to the people of old. It was by faith that God says, well done, good report. I bear witness of them that they lived by faith. And God bears witness of every child of God, every saint of God that lives by faith. For only the righteous can live by their faith. Are you righteous? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus and you have truly been born again, you are righteous as far as God's concerned. The merits of Jesus are yours. Imputed to your account. Just as Ralph read for us with Abraham, it was imputed to him because he believed God. What was imputed? The righteousness of God. That's what salvation is all about. That's what being a Christian is all about. The righteousness of God is on, given to me, imputed to me, my account. Now how do I live? Must live by faith. Must live by faith. Matthew Henry says, you know, faith is an old grace. It is not a new invention. It is not a passing modern fancy. No, faith is an old grace. How old? Go back to Abel, if you want. That's way back at the beginning, isn't it? You want to go where? How far back? All the way back to Abel. Righteous Abel. Want to look at Enoch? Pleasing Enoch. How did they do it? By faith. That's why Hebrews chapter 11 is this great hall of fame of faith, isn't it? By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. If you haven't got the message at the end of the chapter, you've missed it. But how can you miss it? By faith. And so faith is God's grace gift to us to enable us to believe. That's what we said last week. Faith is a saving grace of God. Saving faith is the gift of God. It's not by my will. It's not by my choice. It's a gift from God that enables men and women and boys and girls to believe. You say, well, how do I get this faith? Ask God for it. Get on your knees and seek the face of God and ask Him to grant to you faith. Because when He grants faith to an individual, the heart embraces the promises of God. You have that faith. Saving faith. It's not only just a saving faith, but it's a transforming faith, isn't it? If there's no progress in faith, what kind of faith do we have? No, saving faith perseveres. Saving faith continues. Saving faith endures. Saving faith is not like chapter 10, those who shrink back. No, saving faith keeps on. Keeps on the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. So in Hebrews 11, faith is the principle. Faith is the principle of all of our holy obedience to God. Faith is the principle of all of our service to God and for God. Faith is the principle, if you like, of all patient suffering in the cause of Christ, whether in health or in affliction or bad health, whatever it is, good or bad. It is the principle that drives us on in the cause of Christ. Now let me state to you, in case you are mistaken, that in verse 2, faith is not the objective. Faith is not the objective in verse 2. No, the objective in verse 2 is the approval of God. The merit or the means or the instrumentality of getting that approval of God is faith. You will never get the commendation of God without the instrumentality of faith. But faith is not the objective of verse 2. The objective of verse 2 is that they were well spoken of by God. That's what the writer wants us to understand, that their approval came by faith and needs faith, but it's their approval. Now, why do I say that? I say that because there's a very great danger today facing evangelical Christians, that we begin to believe or we begin to have faith in our faith. We begin to have faith in our faith. And we begin to say, I believe, you see, because I've believed. And we start to see faith as this thing that is all important. When faith is only the instrument by which the saving grace of God comes to us. So if you're believing in faith, you're unsaved if you're believing in faith. And how many Christians are there? When you ask them, are you saved? They will tell you, I believed. It's not what I want to know. It's not what I want to hear. I want to hear about the merits of Jesus and the love of Christ in the heart. I want to know about the conquering of sin in your life. Faith. Anybody can speak about faith. Go and ask anybody downtown Sarasota, do you believe the gospel or do you believe in Jesus Christ? Of course, yes, I believe. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Well, I believe what you believe. If they're your friends, they might say that. I believe what you believe. If you believe what I believe, it's not about my belief. It's about who I believe. Who I believe. Whom I have believed. Watch out for this danger of having faith in faith. It's a very great danger that is facing us at this moment. That's why Mr. Pink could say, let us value a Christian not for his intellect or her intellect or social charms or natural graces, but for his or her faith evidenced by a godly life and walk. You see, what is the testimony of faith? The commendation of God. The proof of the pudding is the commendation of God. You say you believe, will God commend you? He only commends those who are righteous and have saving faith. So we have seen that the recipients of God's approval are the Old Testament saints in verse 2. Secondly, God has recorded in the Holy Scriptures His commendation of their lives of faith, and their reward was the approval of God. Thirdly, the reason by which they attained this approval of God was by faith alone. By faith alone. And we are called upon to believe the promises of God, to trust in God, because God is the promiser. The promiser. Just as the writer here in Hebrews 11 urges his readers to look to the people of old as an example of faith and what it means to be approved of by God, so we too in the 21st century, let us look to all those examples in the past as benefits for us, as an encouragement for us in our faith. That's why I said, godly examples are a powerful stimulus and a confirmation of all practical truth. You see, each one of us is not so much interested in the theory. We want the reality and the practical. How will it work out? Well, godly examples have been there and done it. That's where I look to. And so it's a great confirmation of practical truth. We must also recognize that in order to gain the approval of God, the reproaches of the world may increase against you. If you start to get serious about God, you better believe the world will get serious about you. And the reproaches will fall upon you. So persevere in your faith. It is always by faith, and it is only by faith, that we have any acceptance with God. We must fix our hope on what is yet to come because it is guaranteed by the promises of God. This God-pleasing faith gives us an encouragement in our day-to-day life. It gives us the strength to persevere, to continue, to endure, to remain firm in the midst of all opposition, all persecution, all suffering. It is this faith that we must look to, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And though this world may hate you, yet God shall approve you if you are like the people of old who lived by their faith. So let us this day and from this moment on seek the approval of God and the commendation of God. And let us ask God to increase our faith to help us to continue so that we may hear those wonderful words one day in the future. Well done, you good and faithful servant. That's the approval of God. The only way to get it is by faith. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, what a gift faith is. We have been saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. What a gift you have given to us. We thank you, Father, that you have opened our eyes, the eyes of our mind, the eyes of our heart, and you have removed the scales from them so that we may see Jesus, that we may believe Him, that we may know what He has done for us. He has made atonement for all of our sins. He is the gift of God to us who believe. And every promise of God is yes and amen in our Lord Jesus. Father, we look to the examples we have in Scripture. We thank you that you've given us many other examples of faith. Help us to look to them. Stir up faith in each of us, we pray. Increase our hunger and passion for God. If you have to break us, break us. If you have to make us anew, make us anew. But dear Lord, above all things, make us like your beloved Son, in whom you were well pleased. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So make each of us this morning those who have faith in Christ and who bring pleasure to God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we sing in closing hymn 728? Am I a soldier of the cross? 728 and verses 2.